Hello, I'm Sian Edmonds, Head of Food and Drink at Burgess Salmon. This is one of a series of podcasts dealing with issues relating to Brexit. I'm going to be looking in particular at issues facing the food and drink sector in the UK. I'm going to firstly look at trade with the European Union, then cover labelling and regulation, and finally look at trade with the rest of the world. The EU is the UK's largest trading partner, and around 50% of the food that consumers eat within the UK comes from the EU. Brexit is therefore a particularly important issue for food and drink businesses. At the moment, food businesses generally run a just-in-time supply chain, which means that they hold very limited stock in the UK and rely on the movability of goods to ensure that they have access to the products that they need to process, manufacture, and deliver food to the table. If we come out of the European Union without a deal and face significant border controls, food businesses are going to be likely to be facing shortages in supply of products that they need, and access to ingredients will become much more limited. Food businesses can do certain things to line themselves up to ensure that they're in the best position for when we come out of Europe, by looking at things such as obtaining authorised economic operator status and ensuring that they have good access to the goods that they need via secure supply chains. If we come out of Europe without a deal and are forced to function under WTO rules, food businesses will be particularly affected by tariffs. The tariffs applied to food products are often significant under WTO rules, and this is likely to lead to an increase in prices for consumers and is also likely to increase the cost of production and supply for food manufacturing businesses. Looking at labelling and regulation of food and drink products, at the moment most of the regulation that we have in the UK is governed by EU legislation. This covers issues such as labelling requirements, but also deals with other more specific regimes such as the novel foods regime and the health and nutrition claims that food and drink businesses are able to apply to their products. At the moment, the EU holds a number of registers for these types of regimes, but after we come out of the transition period, the UK is going to be running its own registers. The practical effect of this for businesses trading within both the UK and the EU is that they're likely to see a divergence of regime over time. That means that going forwards, food businesses may well face having to deal with one set of lists and rules within the EU and another set of lists and rules within the UK. This is likely to increase cost and also is likely to become more burdensome. Looking at trade with the rest of the world, a significant concern for both consumers and food businesses is the level of quality and welfare standards applied to goods. At the moment, the UK prides itself on its high level of quality and welfare standards, and concerns have been expressed about the extent to which those might be lowered as a result of trade deals done with other parts of the world. The Conservative Party has made a manifesto commitment to ensure that quality and welfare standards will not be dropped as part of any trade deals that are done, but this commitment has not been put into the agricultural bill, which is currently going through Parliament at the moment. Food organisations and agricultural groups such as the NFU have therefore expressed concerns about the extent to which those quality and welfare standards will be upheld in practice when trade deals are done. And it remains to be seen the extent to which the government maintains the commitment at that level. My colleague Ian Tucker has covered the issue of the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in more detail in an earlier podcast. But in terms of the impact for food and drink businesses, one key factor is that the majority of traders moving across the border within the island of Ireland are small traders moving goods to and fro and will quite possibly be doing this under the radar and without the ability to carry out the regulatory checks that the government might wish to impose. The practical problems of dealing with this type of trading activity is therefore significant, and I know that DEFRA are looking at the issue in a lot of detail and are trying to work out how they're going to deal with this practical problem. It remains to be seen how that's dealt with in practice. So that's all from me. As I say, we have a number of these podcasts going out, and if you're interested in hearing more about issues relating to Brexit, then do tune into those. Thank you.